and all the armor guys, and going to take him to be crucified. And they are fussing who's going to be the greatest. Pretty sad, isn't it? Pretty sad. How many times we in church, we fuss and gripe over the things that are really not important. At home, we fuss and complain over the things that are really not important. But life keeps on, doesn't it? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is the greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief, sorry, brother. And as he that doth serve. And really, that's what a chief is, isn't it? You're a servant to your men and women. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that is a servant? It's not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. And ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Father, I pray tonight you'd help us as we look into the Word of God. Maybe encourage. Lord, help us to realize that we have a great responsibility before us, and that is to be your servants. Lord, as the Scripture says, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God. God, help us all have that desire in our heart and our lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, realize that time is so short that things are not important as we think they are. And other things are very important that we don't even realize. Lord, now teach us these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two of the disciples of Jesus had been sent ahead to Jerusalem to prepare the Passover in the upper room. And this upper room was owned by a friend of Jesus. How about that? I like that. I want to be a friend of Jesus. Anything Jesus asked me to do, I want to do. Anything he says for me to say, I want to say. I want to be a friend of Jesus. How important is that? That's the most important thing in life. To be a friend of Jesus Christ. We are people who have been called to be his friends. Here's a man. Somehow he's got a pitcher of water in his hand. Jesus already knows that. Jesus knew everything. Amen. And he said, now go find a man. He's got a pitcher of water and tell him the Lord has need of my friend of mine, Brother Mark Gren. His favorite verse in the Bible was, the Lord has need of it. And we go down and see him down in Barahona, Dominican Republic, and we'd be talking, and something came up. He said, "Well," he said, "brother, the Lord has need of it, and he'd take it from you." He just. He wasn't even kidding either. And I think that sometimes we forget that it really, the things we have are not ours anyway. Are they? Not ours. Jesus' disciples arrive in the upper room. This is Wednesday night. And it's already to the surprise and to some to the dismay that Jesus stood in the doorway and began to wash the disciples' feet. Then the Passover begins and the celebration. Many interesting words were spoken by Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it have been neat to be a little fly on the wall to listen to what Jesus Christ was saying? Because not everything is recorded what Jesus Christ said. And John said in the last chapter of St. John, he said, if all the things, all the words that were recorded, that Jesus, things that Jesus did and what he said, there's not enough room in this world to keep them all. Interesting words that were spoken by Jesus Christ. And as a night of teaching and a night of love, true love, a night Jesus is sharing what the future will bring, then a night of sadness fell upon these disciples. This is the night that the real physical trouble started for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his last supper with them before he ascends to heaven. Listen as the Lord tells Judas to go and do the vile work. That old spoiler had got into him, and now the traitor, now he's a traitor, not a disciple. Evil-minded person. In the interlude, Judas the traitor left the room, and this is the night of all infamy and struggles. Then the Passover is finished, and Christ institutes the Lord's Supper. He breaks the bread and tells disciples of the broken bread would be a significance or a symbol of his broken body. He raises the cup and he said, "This will represent my blood that is going to be shed for you and the world's sin." In the next text from which is chosen these words, Jesus said at this time, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. Here's the central figure, the suffering Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We are sure that Jesus refers especially to the suffering of his death and the suffering of a Savior. As a believer, why as a believer are we commanded to remember his suffering? Well, number one, we remember his suffering because of our sins. He suffered because of me. I fail all the time. In sin did my mother conceive me. Throughout my life, I have sinned. I keep sinning. I don't like to sin. It makes me very upset. Sometimes it makes me hate myself to think that I would even think of something, let alone say something or do something. Jesus said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me. I want you to know that because of your sins, I have to go to the tree. I have to be scourged. I have to shed my blood." And remember to the suffering, that long and dark list of sins by nature. We inherit sin, both guilt and corruption. The one by imputation, he accepted. It was imputed on us, and he took our sins and gave us righteousness. The other by birth. And we have numerous actual sins which proceed from our corruption. Too many of us to enumerate, and also too many shameful varieties of them. If you'd be honest with me tonight, you certainly wouldn't want anybody to know who you truly are. I've said it many times. I'm glad that my future father-in-law and mother-in-law didn't know me when I was in high school. I don't think it would have happened. And I say that very shamefully. Here's a young girl who lived for the Lord. Her father told me one time we were out golfing. He said, "Don't you ever tell anybody, but you're getting the pick of the litter." She said, "My daughter never gave me a bit of trouble till you came along." No, he didn't say that. We have many shameful varieties of, so new, we can't even number them, our sins. We are sinners. The writer of that wonderful song that we hear so many times at funerals, written by John Newton. John Newton wrote Amazing Grace. John Newton was a young man. And as a young man, his father owned a ship, a set of ships. And these ships would go to Africa and pick up slaves and bring them out of Africa to Barbados and from Barbados up into England. And John Newton was a young man. And he learned a lot of things from a lot of sailors. In fact, he had such a foul mouth, his father put him off the ship and said, "You will not be on my ship. You have such a foul mouth." somehow he got on another ship, and they put him off on an island and said, we ain't going to have any of the likes of you on this boat. Foul. Filthy. Somehow John Newton made enough money and bought his own ship. And guess what he started doing? Shipping slaves from Africa to England. On that fateful night when the storms of the Atlantic were so grave, and he knew that his ship was about to break in half, he cried out to God. He happened to be seeing a young lady that was a Christian. And she said, John Newton, I'll have nothing to do with you until you go see the preacher. And he just kept coming at her. She kept pushing him off. And in the captain's brig, not brig, in the captain's quarters, he fell on his face before God. He said, God, I know I'm going to die tonight. But if you will just save me tonight, I'll go see the preacher. The first thing I do when I get off this boat. Somehow, miraculously, that boat did not capsize, did not break in half. And he made it back to England, and he was true to his word. He went to see the preacher, and realizing his sin, got saved that day. You know what happened to that cussing young man? He became a preacher. And he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Completely changed his life. John Newton, at the age of 80, a great preacher, said this, my memory is about gone, but there are two things I'll never forget, that I am a great sinner and Jesus is a great Savior. That's pretty good to remember when you're 80 years old, amen. But now our sins have been laid upon Christ, on Him as our substitute. God laid all our sins on Him, and Jesus was willing to shoulder them. Now, because of the burden of our sins on His shoulder, Jesus suffered. That is why He tells us to remember what I suffered. Secondly, remember what Jesus suffered. He suffered the wrath of God. He suffered the wrath of God. Throughout the Savior's life, the wrath of God for our sins rested upon Jesus. That is why He came to the earth to be the Savior of mankind. But towards the end of Jesus' suffering, it became more intense. The terrible vial of God's wrath was poured upon the agony of His soul, and He sweat great drops of blood. Before Caiaphas, where He was rejected as the Son of God, before Pilate, where He was condemned as the King of the Jews, on Calvary, where He was forsaken by the Almighty God. That is why He says, remember what I suffered. Thirdly, remember for what purpose He suffered. Redemption. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a great song. What a great song. Redeemed. You've heard the story. Told it many times. Tell it again because I like to hear it. There's a little boy walking down and out of school one day, and he was down by the ocean. And you see an old guy down there, old captain. The old captain had his hat on and just sitting there and had his fine suit on. Don't you know? He was sitting there. And he had a penknife, and he was carving. And the little boy said, what you doing? He said, howdy, son. He said, I'm carving a boat. He said, you're carving a boat? He said, yeah, come on in here. And the little boy walked in there, and here's some boats that he had carved. He said, son, if you keep coming back, I'll help you carve one of these boats. He said, do you mean it? He said, I mean it. And on the story went, and he worked and worked and worked. Every day after school, man, that little guy come down pell-mell all the way down as fast as he could get down there. And there the old sailor was, the old captain. The old captain was ready for him. And they started carving again. One day, the boat was finished. And the captain laid that boat that they had crafted together and put it in the hands of the boy. He said, "There's your boy's boat, son." And that little boy looked at it. "Wow. I bet this thing could really sail," he said. "I bet this thing could sail over the half, all over the world." And the captain said, "Hey, son, now, you be careful now. You put that in the water. It'll get away from you. You need to keep the string on it." So the little boy, of course, put the string on it. And guess what happened? Took it out. In this little river that came off the ocean. Tide wasn't doing too bad. So he put that in there, and he had his string on it. All of a sudden, the string came loose. Tide came, sucked that little boat right out. Oh, that boy cried and cried and cried. Well, 3 weeks later, he's walking by the hardware store, and in the big picture window there's his boat. He walks in, he says, Sir, "Where did you find my boat?" He said, "What do you mean, your boat?" He said, "That boat." He said, "I bought that boat from a fella." He said, "But sir, that was mine. I made it." He said, "Well, sir, I paid a lot of money for that thing. That's a nice boat." "I know it is. Me and the captain, we made it." He said, "But sir," he said, "I can't give it to you." "Why not?" He said, "I paid a lot of money for it." The old hardware man kind of felt sorry for the little guy. He said, "I'll tell you what. I will sell it back to you what it cost me. You can redeem it." And the little boy said, "But what can I do?" He said, "Every day you can come and sweep my hardware store out, wash the windows." And he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll pay you back. You can have it so you can get the money back and you can have your boat." That's redeeming. It once was his, and it was lost. God again. But there had to be some payment for it. The Lord Jesus Christ created this magnificent universe. And Satan, his imps of hell, have tried and tried and tried all they can to take away this earth from him and take away people from him. But Jesus Christ said, "I'll redeem it. I'll buy it again. I'll buy it back." To you and me, we say, "That ain't fair." Well, there's a lot of things in this world ain't fair. There's a lot of things you're going to run into that's not fair. The greatest travesty of all life is that Jesus Christ had to buy back his own created creation. First, our sin was laid on his shoulder and he paid the penalty. Then righteousness was imputed to us and we received forgiveness. And moreover, we are made heirs of eternal life as a result of his sacrifice. Christ merited sonship for us. We were made children of God and consequently become heirs of God. We are redeemed unto everlasting life in the presence of God. Remember for what purpose Jesus suffered. Have you ever become an heir? My grandmother, her first husband was very mean to her. Tried to kill my mom. Her second husband was Dan Patrick. Patterson. Dan Patterson was an old man. Smoked great big stogies to a big Cadillac. A big Chrysler car. Heavy drinker. But Dan Patterson got saved by watching my mother, my grandmother, and her glorious testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dan Patterson had a heart problem. And the doctor said, "If you just take a shot of whiskey, that'll help you." And Dan Patterson got saved. And he said, I'll sit right in the corner and die before I'll touch another one of that dirty, rotten liquor. Man, he really, really got saved. Amen. And Dan Patterson was also, he was a speculator. He'd build homes and sell them, build homes and sell them, build homes and sell them. And Dan Patterson died at a young age. And then my grandmother married Gramps, Francis Conley. Francis Conley had an electrical business and did very well for himself. He had loved my grandmother ever since sixth grade. But he messed up and didn't get married to her the first time. Second time, Dan Patterson got in there. Third time, you know what they say, three times a charm, amen? He said to her, he says, Thelma, I've loved you since sixth grade. Will you marry me? And she said, Francis, I'd be honored. So she married Grant. My grandmother lived to 99 years old. She was married to four men, 20 years apiece. I don't know, that'd be kind of scary for me to marry somebody that's been married before and they only lived 20 years, amen. I used to tease her about that. When she passed, we become heirs. My wife and I were starting a church, and that's what you're supposed to do with money, aren't you? You're supposed to help the church, isn't it? Hey, Matt. Hey, Matt. That's right. Some of them are here to understand that this morning, you know. But it's amazing somebody write you a check and say you become heir. That is an amazing thing. Now let me tell you something. Because of that, because of Christ, we've become heirs. Not just because it's a good life to live a Christian life, but it's going to be a greater life when we meet him in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I think when Jesus said this, tears are streaming down his face. Because he knew what he was going to go through. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest and how we know the way. I'm glad Thomas doubted. I'm glad he said that, because this is what Jesus said. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. So the way you can get there. I am the truth. I would never tell a lie. I'm the life. I'm the everlasting life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ created us. Mankind turn their face against him, and Jesus Christ said, I'll go. I'll give everything for you, Father. Every time you hear Jesus praying, he said, thy will be done. He even told his mom, he said, don't you know I'm at my father's business? That was his whole thing. By the way, may I encourage you? You're to be at the Father's business. That's your job. Not other people's business, but the Father's business. Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Walk close to God. Do what he asks you to do. The troubles will come, the sorrows will come without question. We're in a battle. We know the troubles are going to come. But we do know there's a God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when the troubles really come, he said, I will provide a way of an escape for you. And he will. That's his promise to you. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I get to take the Lord's Supper tonight. I'm so thrilled that I get to enjoy that bread and enjoy that cup and realize that's for me and it's for you. Salvation is a gift of God. We can't boast about it. We have to humbly realize that we are set for the fall and destruction of our body and our soul and burn in hell forever. But Jesus made it possible that you and I can go free. And what do we do for it? Nothing. All we're just willing. I hope you've made that choice tonight. If you haven't, you can by praying, bowing your head and praying, say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. That's God's promise to you. Pretty simple, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, where do we go? Where do we go for peace? Where do we go for the answers? Where do we go for truth except to you? Lord God, please, I beg you tonight, you'd be with us now. Lord, if there'd be anything in our hearts and our lives, any wicked ways, dear God, I pray that we would quickly ask for forgiveness and thank you that you're quick to forgive. And Lord, that we may live closer to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If you're not, would you just step out of that seat there and come down the aisle? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure you're saved. Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, you know, I've been saved. I have a follow Lord and believers in baptism. Why don't you come? Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. Maybe here tonight and say, preacher, there's some things that I need to take care of before my Savior. All he's done for me. Let's stand.